Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I've got a message today that's entitled, just a power shift. That there was a power shift on the earth when Jesus walked out of that tomb. There was a power shift on the earth when Jesus came into your heart. I mean, that's how you have to look at it. And see, but what the world carries, because of the fall of man, the world carries challenges for us. And if I ask you guys, how many of you guys are in a challenge right now? It would be all of us. And it takes on different forms and it's different types of things. But man, there's a challenge. And I think that when that challenge happens, the first thing you have to do is you have to confront that challenge. And I think that's the biggest step. I think just where we look at that challenge and we confront it. And I mean, honestly, go face to face with it. And I'm not talking about staring it down. I'm talking about confronting that challenge that you face. The second thing is we have to change. And the way we call it here is at Guts Church is just next steps. You know, when you confront that challenge and you see it, what's the next step? The next step is going to require some change in you. See, and we have a little bit of, you know, we get a gas bubble over that stuff. We get some indigestion, you know, the whole idea of change. It's the part of the unknown. But see, that's where faith comes in. And without faith, it's impossible for us to please God. And we really do. I believe most people watching now and listening right now, man, you have that desire in your heart to please God. Man, I want my life to be pleasing to you, God. So I think we confront our issue. I think that we take the next step that's changed. And then I think what happens, and this is the interesting part, and this is the part that is gonna kind of kick off this message today, is things come alive with that change. Things in our lives come alive. And it's so again, it's different. See, so we confront the challenge and the issues that we face, and then we take the next steps, the required change to overcome that. And then things in our life they come alive. And I think about that. I think that's a little bit of awkward. You know, the way God does things. Now listen, this is interesting. The way God does things is that he uses seed and he uses bread. See, and I think a lot of people will come to church for the bread part. You're here today to be fed God's word. And we look at it like that, like we're consuming a meal here. And I love that whole idea that we're consuming a meal and that we're looking at our lives and we're rightly dividing the word of faith and the word of truth so that it's digestible. It's kind of it's in bite-sized pieces and it's a balanced diet. You know, we need to talk about relationships and talk about health and talk about our finances and talk about God's will and God's promise in those areas. There's got to be a steady diet of the basic truths of God's word. But then it's a broad a range of things because our lives are broad. And I'm of the opinion though that it's not just for bread to eat, to feed, but it's also seed. And see, that's where God's promise comes, God's miracle life comes in seed form to our lives. See, it's the same thing. Part of it, the seed, the harvest of seed makes up the bread, but then I think a lot of times most people miss out on the seed consumption and the planting and how the word is sown into our lives in these situations here, church services. See, that's why these church services, because they fill us up as food, spiritual food, but then it also provides seed for us. If you look at your income, you know, you've got a vocation, you've got a job, you get a paycheck. You look at that paycheck, there's part of it that has to turn into food for you and your family. But then you've got to recognize the seed aspect of that. And I'll tell you, the more of the seed part of it that you recognize, man, the bigger the harvest that you're going to have. And see, and that's where the real follow-up to all this is. You know, that like some of you guys might've had a little pushback of giving your information. It's like, are they gonna be bugging me? Are they gonna be calling me? No, we're just gonna plug you onto a team for that event. But see, that little bit of accountability there and the push off that comes from that, it denies God's people and God's house from following up in our lives. There's so many people that go through things that no one's aware of. And you know, the devil's, again, like he was me, driving to that June 6th event 2 years ago, you know, is anybody gonna show up? You know what? I could have, I didn't, and I never would, but I could have just turned my car around and just drove home and thought, no, it's just raining. I'm just gonna pack it in. It's not gonna be perfect. Well, my goodness. But you know, what happens is that when our lives are full of the bread of life, God's the promise of God, but then we also gather it in seed form and begin to sow it into our lives. And what that's gonna give you is a preferred future. Man, the promise of God isn't a promise that God's just made. It's a promise that God has kept. And see what the word does in our life and what God's plan is now, the purpose of God in our life now, it gives us the upper hand. You know, I know it doesn't feel like that. We don't feel like we have the upper hand. But do you understand in life today, as Christians, we have the upper hand. And it feels like that the whole world's against us, because most of it is. But it doesn't matter. Because what does the word say? You know, what we see and how we feel is that most of the world's against us. But what does the word say? If God be for us, who could really be against us? What does it matter who comes out against us? Why? Because we always win. We always prevail. We always overcome. Because God's turned the table on our enemy. And we have the upper hand now. You think about that in your life. You think about having the upper hand in your life, in your finances, upper hand in your relationships, in your marriage, with your children. Man, you're raising kids. Some of you guys even had grown kids. Do you understand that everything you put your hand to, God's given you the upper hand? He's called you to prosper in those things, and that gives you control in that in your life. All you have to do is put your hand to it. In Acts, the 26th chapter, this is an incredible story that most of us have experienced personally. But it's Saul, when he faces, well, I'll just read it. Acts 26, and I'm gonna start at the first verse of that chapter. You guys got your Bibles today? Man, if you don't, it'll be on the screen. If not, I really do challenge you to bring a Bible to church that you can underline, that you can take notes in. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You're permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently." Paul said, "Listen, I'm gonna break this down for you. I'm gonna detail this for you. This is gonna be something that this was his big opportunity. Now listen, my manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and I'm judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself thought that I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw light from heaven, brighter than the sun, brighter than anything that I'd ever seen, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose. Man, Jesus has come into our lives for purpose. Listen, this is where the change is. Man, the next step is, because there's purpose in our lives now, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you've seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. God, I just thank you for revealing your will and your purpose that you're revealing right now in our lives. In Jesus' name, just receive that. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Now listen to verse 18, to open their eyes. See, part of this, it's gonna require your effort. And you've got a new way of seeing now, therefore a new way of living now. In order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. From the power of Satan to the power of God. There's a huge power shift that's happened in our lives. And I believe there's two components. See, what this power shift does, it gives us, listen, the hope, the capability for us to overcome, for us to break through in life, for us to not live the limited life, the life with a ceiling and a really unjust world and unjust power that happens in the world, the prince of the power of the air. That what God does is he turns the table on our enemy. So we go from the power of Satan to the power of the living God. And what this requires is two things, real simple today. The first thing is resistance, is we have to resist the devil. See, that's where humility comes into play in our lives, where we're never looking at ourselves first. We're never self-centered or selfish. Why? Because we have to put God first. We have to seek first the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things, his righteousness, his right standing, and all these things will be added unto us. Man, we have to have resistance. We have to humble ourselves. In James, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. See, that resistance, we have to resist the devil. Man, the doubt, the unbelief, the fiery darts that come into our mind. You know, it's so cool that there's a family in our church that, man, they're just committed and dedicated and, man, just a great family. And he coaches the girls' soccer team at Union. And last night, they won their second straight state championship. And they won like 4-1 against a team that had lost one game all year and just amazing. But I'll tell you what amazes me. It's the second year in a row they were ranked number one in the country. You know, and you just look at this, and if you'd look at them, you'd think, well, wait a minute. Man, what's the secret formula? I guarantee you it's just setting a mark. And the mark that we live as Christians is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Man, what's the real true call that's on my life? I'll tell you it's weird because it's my voice, but just on that video where we're in a capital campaign right now, and a big effort in my heart is to launch churches in this capital campaign. And I think, yeah, you know what? We can't do it too quickly. Yet I think, wait a second, man, people are dying and going to hell. People are living a spiritually abused life by the enemy. And man, I'm just telling you, the opportunity we have right now, we have to resist the doubt. We have to resist the unbelief. We have to put God first in our lives. Man, if we could just resist that, if we could submit ourselves to God, if we could resist the devil, you know, and you don't have to be a Christian very long to know when it's the devil that's trying to operate in your life. It's the devil trying to lead you by the nose through life. It's not hard to figure that out and to understand it. And I'll tell you the simple formula that I use. Oral Roberts said this 50 years ago. God's a good God. The devil's a bad devil. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. And you know what we need to be looking for to receive in our lives? The things that we grab a hold of and receive? The good and perfect gifts from above that God gives us. Not anything that the devil throws at us. So resistance is the first key. The second key is persistence. Man, persistence is huge. Deuteronomy 5:32 says, "Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." You know, we receive such dynamic seed in these services. Man, into our lives for breakthrough. And we have to live that life that wins. The life that provides, listen, the overcoming nature of Christ. And you know what? That's what's required here is for us to live a life of resistance, but then persistence. You know, I truly believe as a Christian, no matter how many times you get knocked down, if you get back up, if you don't quit, you win. You don't quit, you win. The Bible says this, the righteous have never been forsaken. The righteous have never been left out. The whole idea of righteousness doesn't equate to a carnal mind. See, that I'm righteous, I can't get good enough. I can't be good enough. I try and I strive and I work at it and I just can't get to that righteous place in and of myself. And I have to realize it's not me, it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the blood of Jesus that makes me righteous. Because Jesus shed his blood and I've received his blood for the remission of sin, God looks at me as righteous. You may not look at me as that. People may not look at me as that. I may not look in the mirror and see that. But when God looks at my life, all he sees is the righteousness that Jesus has won on my behalf. See, that's the overcoming. That's the persistence we have to walk in. That I'm righteous, not by anything I've done, but by what God's done. God promises, his promises come to us in seed form. See, you have to let that righteousness, I remember when I first became a Christian, I was standing up at that altar and I thought, is that all there is? Are you kidding me? You say a prayer? This is crazy. I mean, the whole time I'm just, in my heart, I'm shaking my head. It was disgusting to me. I'm thinking, all this, are you kidding me? And then the pastor looked at me and said, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I still felt like, is this all there is? You're kidding me. This is what I've been stiff-arming for 5 years? That's what I'm thinking. I've told that story many times. But somehow, that word that pastor spoke, he spoke it into my life. That seed was sown in my heart. The whole next week, the whole next month, I'm dealing with that in my heart. I'm a new creation in Christ. People would ask me about my old habits or my old vices or my old partying buddies and carousing guys, my brothers and all, man, guys I lived and fought and some have died. And the whole idea that, man, these guys come in, they're trying to offer me those essentials of that old life that God saved me from. And you know what? It was easy for me not to do drugs and party and do those things anymore. You know why? I was a new creation in Christ. I was a new creature in Christ. I mean, it was so simple for me. How does that happen? It happens because that seed was engrafted into my heart. That seed began immediately to produce in my life. You know, what did Jesus say that, man, naturally you say that the harvest comes in 4 months, but here's what he said, that when the seed activates in your life, listen, Jesus said this, no. You've heard it said, but I say to you, lift up your head, open your eyes, look at the fields. They're already wide into harvest. Man, that seed was sown in my heart on a Sunday morning. And I'm telling you, by Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, by the next weekend, that seed was already producing in my life. See, that's what happens for us. See, that's why this persistence has to, man, the biggest commitment that any of us are gonna make is to go to church once a week. Because it's not that big a deal. Because it's like resets. No one's requiring of us to be, nobody's badgering you to be here. But you know what? You know what the whole idea of the kingdom is it's family. See, what God's ordained is God's ordained marriage and God's ordained the church. And what both of them are about are gathering and connecting. Gathering, if your family's all splintered, man, you've just got to believe God to be able to gather and connect that family. Bring that connection. The same thing with his family. You know, the interesting thing is here is that, man, we don't get to pick people. It's people voluntarily come here. Man, we invite people. We recruit people. We'll go drive people here. We'll give them groceries. We'll do whatever we'll offer an old outlaw bike to people that's going to be one of the coolest bikes anybody rides around here that has risen with outlaw biker clubs. But you know what? Man, everything we can do is bait. But the bottom line is this: people have to consent in their own hearts. People have to buy in. And you know what? People have to come to that resistance place of the lies that the enemy are trying to keep them from the loving hands of God that nothing can snatch you from. Man, the devil knows that once you're in the grip of grace, of God's grace, nothing can snatch you from the Father's hands. Man, we just have to persist. Man, we've got to be persistent in this. Man, we've got to make sure that, man, we're not looking to the left or the right. Man, we're keeping the commitment that we've made to God, commitment we've made to people. Man, people come in here, they have different skin tone, they have different educational background, they have different financial status, they have different act. There's people here with different accents. But you know what God does? God makes people, listen, invaluable in our lives. Man, everyone in here, let me tell you what you carry. You carry a facet. We're like, man, the kingdom of God's like a prism. And you're like a side of that prism, and you reflect a side of God that no one else can. Man, the missing link in all of this is always people. Man, the resources, everything else, I'll tell you, resources and finances and crowds, man, they all follow people. Man, I'm telling you, people have taken this message probably to an extreme, but money comes, resources come in our life. Man, if we just keep our eyes on him. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, the idea of this persistence, there's an interesting story in the Old Testament, in Joshua, the 10th chapter. And this is all these Amorite kings that were enemies. Verse 16, these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in a cave of Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have been found hidden in the cave at Makkedah. So Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. See, this is the resistance that they put out. Now listen, and don't stay there yourselves, but pursue your enemies. This is interesting. The gates of Hades won't prevail against the church kind of concept here. And attack their rear guard. Don't allow them to enter their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand. Then it happened while Joshua and the children of Israel made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter till they had finished, that those who escaped entered fortified cities, and all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. No one moved his tongue against the children of Israel. They returned in peace. Pursue your enemies. Take the offensive in your life. Man, but the idea of this, for us to persist, for us not just to, man, we've got to confront the challenges in our life. We've got to confront what's holding us back. We've got to confront our fears. We've got to confront our dilemmas. Man, we've got to confront our insecurities. Man, we confront those things. Man, and you know what? We end up in peace. But there's things in our life, and this is one of those things that I wish we had a couple hours and we could just sit and put all the chairs in a circle and we could all just, man, just share God's heart. Because there's an element of this in 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but all things aren't helpful. All things are lawful, but all things don't edify. You know, there's things in our life that we're allowed to be a part of, that people aren't going to judge us differently, but they don't edify us. They don't build us up. How many things like that are in our lives? How many relationships do we have that don't edify, that aren't helpful? Man, you think about it. See, and that part of us, of our persistence, is we have to continually be pursuing God and not those things that gratify our flesh. I know I have the right to do this, but I lay it down for you, God. It's kind of our heart here. Man, they're lawful, but not expedient. We have to work this out. Work. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What is that working out? It's resistance and persistence. Man, just that we're constantly, just like we eat food and we nourish it, we've got to eat God's word. We've got to read God's word. We have to study God's word. It's got to be fluid in our life. Man, there's got to be a fluency of God's word that we're reading it. And it's like, oh my gosh, I've never seen that before, yet I've read that 100 times. You know, because what this produces, the problem with church commitment, church services, us pursuing the things of God actively in the local church, us being persistent with it, there's two aspects of the timing here. There's the chrono kind of timing that, yeah, here's our service times. This is when we meet. But then because of this, when we keep God as our target, we don't look to the left or the right. God creates these kairos times. See, these times where life opens up for us. Man, I've had maybe thousands of these kind of times where, you know, you look at it and you're thinking, oh my gosh, where God's hand, God's grace is so apparent on your life. And see, that only comes by us resisting the devil, by us submitting ourselves to God. When you submit yourself to something, you relinquish your rights. So you relinquish your rights. So now the things that are lawful, they're not expedient. And a lot of those things that, man, there's things that you may do, but if you see someone else do them, that maybe in ministry or a pastor or somebody, you'd see them doing it, man, you'd think, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're doing that. Yet you do it. See, those are things that you realize, wait a second, they're lawful, but they're probably not helpful. They probably don't build me up. See, and there's so many conversations that we have. Man, they're lawful, but they don't build you up. Man, we've got to be, I'm telling you, the Bible says to be careful, to look out, to wait and see. Man, to wait upon the Lord. Man, to be slow to speak and quick to hear and slow to wrath. Man, it's because God wants you to have a kairos time. Man, a time where the timing of God has just opened up his blessing and miracle power in your life. Man, where there's that, wait a second, it's almost I'm breathing heaven here. I'm not just breathing air here. It's God's breath, God's breathed life into me. See, that's what the resistance and the persistence brings breakthrough, so that kairos time with God, just the timing of God. And there's been so many times, God, how did this happen? This is so amazing. God, I'm so appreciative. God, I'm so grateful. God, I feel favored that I just got to experience this. See, that's what God wants your life to be full of. It's not just the chronos kind of where you have good time management. I think all that's important. But that kairos time where God shows up in your life. You've got to resist the devil, the world's way of thinking. You have to put on the mind of Christ. And then you have to be persistent. Man, I love rugby, the game of rugby. And I realized early on as a rugby player, I realized that other guys are bigger and other guys are faster and other guys are more experienced and skilled and other guys might be better players. But the game really breaks down to persistence. The game breaks down to, there's second phase rugby, which is rucking and mauling and things that you're not interested in. But the thing that's for me is it's about tackling. And you have a player on the other team that it's referred to as your mark. That's who you're responsible for. And if they switch, then you have to change your mark. But But listen, that the idea of it is, it's his responsibility to tackle me if I have the ball, and it's my responsibility to tackle him if he has the ball. And I realized early on as a rugby player that if I didn't miss a tackle, it's gonna be really hard for him to beat me. And I look at life that way. You know why? Because tackling is just about commitment. I'm just gonna make a commitment. He may flat run over me. He may drag me for 10 meters. But you know what? Man, if I persist in this, he's going down. I am tackling him. And you know what? We have to look at our lives like that. The persistence of our life where it's like, you know, and that's how I treat a lot of things in life. You know what? It may not be glamorous. I may not, you judge me by my skill and my talent, I may not have enough. But you know what? If I'm committed enough and persistent enough, and if I make a decision in my heart, and this is what I do, man, I'd look at that guy, and I'd look at him for 2 and 3 and 4 minutes as he's warming up. And then when the kickoff got ready to happen, I'm just thinking, you know, you don't have a chance. I am tackling you every time you have the ball. Every time I'm going to tackle you. I'm committed to tackling you. And I'll be real honest with you. I played for years. I don't remember missing a tackle. And missed tackles are a regret. That means you lost your grip. That means you didn't make a commitment. And you know what? We don't want to live our lives that way. Man, lay hold is what the Bible says of that which is laid hold of you. Man, make the commitment to lay in hold of God's promise. Man, let the devil know, man. Let me just tell you something. I know you miss tackles because I score a lot in my life. But you know what? I'm not missing any tackles, devil. That makes me really difficult to beat. See, and that's all, that God's turned the tables on your enemy. You're really hard to beat. There's no way you should lose in life. I'm just telling you, it starts with resistance. Resist the things that are worldly. Be about the things of God. The Bible even says so much as to be ignorant of evil. It's really hard with social media, with the news cycles. It's hard to be. But you know what? Man, I can do it. You know why? Because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. God, we love you and we praise you. God, I thank you for your word today. God, I ask you to create those moments for us in our life. As we're persistent, God, to pursue you. God, your word tells us to ask and keep asking. Man, God, we to seek and keep seeking, to knock and keep knocking. God, we are a persistent people. God, we want all of you that we could get. God, I thank you now, God, for a move of your spirit upon every person in this place. God, I thank you that if there's physical needs, God, health needs, God, you sent your word to heal us and deliver us of all of our destructions. God, in you, that you're the God who heals us and never rejects us, God. You don't withhold any good thing. And we just have to put you first. God, marriage is in here. God, I thank you. Husbands, just begin to pray for your wife right now in this room. Wherever you are in Skytook, just begin to pray for your wife. God, I just thank you right now that Sandy is blessed coming in and blessed going out. Blessed in the city and blessed in the field. God, I thank you for her. God, I thank you for your spirit that's in her life. God, I thank you for a hedge of protection about her, that no evil shall befall her, nor any plague come near where she lives. God, I proclaim today that her latter days will be greater than her former days in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you have blessed her with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. God, I thank you for supernatural fulfillment in her life. God, that very few have ever experienced. God, thank you for the life that you've given all of us. Let's make a profession of faith together. Father God, I thank you for this life greater than any other. God, I'm so appreciative of the favor that's on my life. Because greater is he who's in me. Because that's you, God, than he who's in the world. God, you have chosen me, you have called me, you have commissioned me and appointed me, man, to live the greatest life known to mankind, the life of favor, the life of grace, of power and dominion. God, I thank you, I'm going to heaven because of the shed blood of Jesus, because he's the Lord of my life. The love of my life is Jesus Christ. God, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. God bless you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.